wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Bible Christianity. Let us take a look at Bible Christianity. This world is in a chaotic mess, but that is not all. Professed Christianity is in shameful disgrace. So let us turn away from such a sickening sight for the Holy Spirit to show us the real born-again Christian as he exemplifies Bible Christianity right here on this earth and right now in this generation. It can be, it must be, it will be when the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. We who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, amen. Christ, our perfect example. We should follow his steps. We Christians have become so enraged against those who say that Jesus was not God, but only a wonderful man who showed us how to be good and to do good by wonderful teachings, that in our zeal to preach Jesus as God, our Savior, we forget that he is also our example. In 1 Peter 2, we read, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ left us that priceless heritage of being in his life, his death, and his resurrection, that perfect example for us to adore and worship, yes, but also for us to follow his steps. Where do we start? Number one, who did no sin. He could challenge his enemies. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Before God and Satan, angels and men, he knew no sin and he did no sin. The one holy man who always glorified God right here on earth. And we, who are his redeemed saints, are solemnly charged by God's word. As he who hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And I write unto you that ye sin not. This is a vital mark of true Bible Christianity. It is the most essential part of all Christian testimony. We who have named the name of Christ are to be known by our separation from all iniquity. For his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Why is this such a vital issue? First, all sin is against God. It is like a slap of defiance in his face. Oh, how serious. Second, sin destroys us, our souls, our spirits, our minds, our bodies, our conscience, and brings us to ruin. Third, sin involves others. It is against heaven, and it also affects others. David cried, Against thee only have I sinned. But he was bad wrong, as Nathan showed him how his sin brought death to Uriah, wrecked his own family and posterity, and put all Israel in panic. Fourth, sin wrecks our character, robbing us of a good reputation and throwing to the wind our Christian testimony. Fifth, sin destroys our life here as its bitter wages destroy our fruitfulness for Christ and hereafter. For our God-given talents were so buried under the dirt of sin, they were not a blessing to others, and our eternal reward is lost forever. Because of what sin is and sin does, first, we are not to practice sin in deed or word. Evil habits, selfish ways, indulgent desires are all to be judged and put away. Every Christian should be able to honestly say, I know of no sin that is a habit of my life. And to be sure of this, we need to constantly pray, Search me, O God, and know my ways. Second, we are never to excuse sin. We did it. No one made us do it. And so, if we sin, we are to confess it in shame and self-condemnation. Third, we should never try to hide sin, for God has vowed he will expose it, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Well might we be ashamed of our sin and never brag about it or parade it, but let us not be like Cain, who hid his sin and then denied it. Fourth, never condone sin. That is to think lightly of it as just a little slip of the tongue or of the walk. Let no Christian ever say, if I never did anything worse than that, I'm pretty good. Every sin is to be repented of and not condoned. Fifth, we are to have no fellowship with sin. Our Lord insisted that his people would not walk in darkness but have the light of life. As his witnesses, we seek those lost in sin, in the very gutter of sin, yet being always completely separated from their sins, as we declare and show the blessed reality of the Christian life. And because our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, we are to have no fellowship with the world, seeking not its favor, nor fearing its frown. Its styles and fashions are not to move us away from our God's unchanging pattern of modest apparel. Its pride and its thrills are to find no place in our hearts or lives, for we are to be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. To follow his steps will lead us to be as he is. Ye are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Six, and never try to even up with sin. That is, to balance up the bad deed by doing a good deed. Sin is neither annulled nor removed by good deeds. The attempt to do so is as repulsive to God and man as for a husband to run with the harlots and then bring his wife a new dress to make her feel better toward him. God's word marks out only one path for real Christians. It is to follow his steps who did no sin. Having considered the negative side of our life, in following his steps, we'll pass on to the positive. Our Lord revealed his great purpose here in these words. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in following his steps, this is to be our greatest purpose, my life work. Second, we are to seek and save the lost. Would you try to shield yourself by saying, no man can save the lost, only Christ can do that? Have you never read James 5:20? He who converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So in seeking and saving the lost, there is both God's part and there's our part. First, God so loved the world while yet sinners. What is our part in this? It is not enough for us to tell them God loves them. That love and compassion must be shown in our hearts toward them as we stoop to rescue them from their lives of misery. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we will cross continents and span oceans to rescue the perishing. It is this, our exhibition of God's love towards sinners, that opens their hearts to the gospel of Christ. May we never fail in this our part. Second, Christ came into the world to save sinners and laid down his life in sacrifice and suffered incomparable agony to pay the price of our redemption. That was his part. No one in heaven or earth could have done that. It is his solitary glory, and let Jesus wear the crown, for he is worthy. Amen. Surely then we can have no part in this. Later we shall see. Third, the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin and lead them to repentance. Apart from this work of the Holy Spirit, all our efforts would fail to produce one repentant soul, and without repentance all would perish, even as our Lord told us. What then is our part in this? Like Ezekiel, we are to give men God's appeal. I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked shall turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? And, like John the Baptist, we're to denounce their proud self-righteousness and to warn them of hellfire and to call upon them to flee from the wrath to come. And, like Paul, we're to tear down their idols and insistently cry in their ears, now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Thus, the Holy Spirit does his work through the fearless testimony of his faithful servants. Fourth, the Holy Spirit gave the inspired word of God. It is his written revelation. Do we then have no part in this? We are to print the word of God. We are to distribute God's book. We are to preach the word. Angels are not allowed to do this, and God does not drop from heaven his written word. It is then up to us to do this. Our part is marvelous. What a holy privilege. And our part is solemn. What a great responsibility is ours. And if we fail to do our part, multitudes will die in their sins, having never heard of God's salvation in Christ our Lord and Savior. But their blood God will require at our hand. We now return to consider our Lord Jesus as our example in his suffering. In 1 Peter 2, this aspect of his being our example is emphasized. He came to seek and save the lost, and it meant sacrifice and suffering for him, and I am to follow his steps. It will be a sacrifice to reach the lost. My life, too, must be laid down in sacrifice. It will bring suffering as certainly as he suffered. He counted no sacrifice too great and no suffering too intense for him to save the lost. And I must count no suffering too deep and no sacrifice too costly for me to make to reach those for whom Christ died. As this determination has dominated my Christian life for over a half century, so my God has honored me with this vast grace and truth ministry as it reaches out to the millions lost in heathen darkness. From this my experience, I must beseech you, my fellow Christians, to take up your cross. For there's a cross to bear, and follow Jesus, follow his steps. Amen. This world must be shown. It's then up to us to demonstrate in our lives this real Bible Christianity, so none can say to us, "What you do speak so loud, I can't hear what you say." But instead, our real Christ-like lives shall draw men to inquire what makes us live that way. Peter and Paul have gone on to heaven, but you and I are left here with a generation of these last days. Let us not fail to be living examples to all of that true Bible Christianity. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.